Good morning, brother and sister. Although we cannot meet face to face, but we thank God that we still can come together to share the Word of God together. Today, may I encourage you to open your Bible and please turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Acts. Let us read together Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 41. Let us read. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound of mighty rush wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongue as of fire appeared to them and rest on each one of them. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together, bewildered, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our native language?" Parthians, Medes, Elamite, resident of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the part of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and convert to Judaism, Cretan and Arab, we hear them declaring the wonder of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they ask to one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, make fun of them and say, "They have too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last day, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your son and daughter will be prophesied. Your young man will see vision, your old man will dream. Even on my servant, both man and woman, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonder in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, and blood and fire and below of smoke. The sun will be turned of darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty work and wonder, and sign that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know, this Jesus deliver up according to the divine plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucify and kill by the hand of the lawless man. God raised him up, losing the pang of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David said concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brother, I may say to you with confidence about Patriarch David that he born, died, and was buried, and his tomb is with us too today. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourself are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now then, they heard this, they were cut to the heart and say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God called to himself." And with many others' words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for your word. Today, let's reveal yourself to us so that we will know you. Help us to know clearly about ourselves and about you. Help us to understand the scripture so that we can live a life that is abundant. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What we just read or heard was a monumental portion of scripture, and it is also particularly important even in the scripture, the day of Pentecost. It may surprise you to learn that the festival of Pentecost was first established way back when Israel was in the desert making its way to the promised land. Pentecost is a celebration of the harvest, a festival initially. It was called the Feast of Weeks. From the day that the first grain was cut, there were to count to 7 weeks. The day after 7 weeks of the 50th day, from when the first grain was cut, people of Israel were to bring thanks offering to God for the harvest. Pentecost literally means 50, the 50th day after the first grain was cut. So, the day of Pentecost was originally something like a day to give thanks to God for the harvest. Throughout Israel history, Pentecost was the celebration of the harvest. For us Christians, we should know that all of the Old Testament festivals pointing to Jesus in New Testament. We can only understand the truth meaning of Old Testament festival through examining the life of Jesus in New Testament. This morning, let us come together to look at this part of the scripture together with Old Testament in order to understand how God fulfilled His plan for all of us. I pray that by knowing our God from this passage will encourage us in this difficult time. Also encourage us to read the book of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There's 3 points I would like to share today. From the past, the point number one is from the Passover to Pentecost, the birth of the church filled with the Holy Spirit. From Passover to Pentecost, Leviticus 23 is the chapter that can be considered as the summary of the entire God's eternal plan as promises, revealed through the nature and timing of 7 annual feasts of the Lord. Offering and celebration is the major feature of the feast. We, as today Christians, who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, are not responsible to keep this feast, but knowledge of them will surely enhance our faith. Now, for the sake of time, I can only tell you briefly what the feasts are called and what is their significance. It was on Mount Sinai that God gave Moses the date and observance of the 8 feasts. 7 of them are annual feasts. These are the 8 feasts. The Sabbath day, a weekly feast. The 7th annual feast is the Passover, which happened in the month of Nisan, 14 to 15. And the unleavened bread is happened on the 15 to 22 on the month of Nisan. First fruit would happen on the 16 to 17 on the month of Nisan. Pentecost happened on the month of Sivan, or 6 to 7. Trumpet happened on the month of Tishri, on the 1st. Atonement happened on the month of Tishri, on the 10th. Tabernacle also happened on the month of Tishri, on the 15th to 22nd. Passover in Leviticus 23, verse 5, specified that the festival years begin with Passover, the 14 days of the first month. Passover is a feast of salvation. In Old and New Testament, the blood of the Lamb delivered God's people. This plan of God fulfilled in New Testament, where our Lord Jesus served as a Passover sacrificial lamb. In Egypt, the Jews marked his house with the blood of the lamb. Today, we Christians mark our house, which is our body, the house of the Spirit, with the blood of Christ. Passover then represents our salvation. Second, unleavened bread. Leviticus 23, verse 6. On the 15 days of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Leaven or yeast in the Bible is symbolized sin. Unleavened bread eaten over 7 days symbolize a holy walk with the Lord. Unleavened bread in New Testament represents the body of our Lord with stripes, pierced, and without any sin. Look at the meza, which is the unleavened bread. You will see it is stripped, pierced, and without any leaven. Baker usually would strip and score, and if the bread is thin and flat, they will also pierce the bread as well, just like our Jacob cracker. God's plan fulfilled, as the scripture told us. So this is the calendar, a Jewish calendar as you can see, the month of Nisan, which is the beginning month of the year, which has happened on our March and April and so forth. Now we see, unleavened bread. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his leg, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he know that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For this thing took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. No one of his bone will be broken. And again, another scripture said, they will look on him whom they have pierced. And in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitant of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and a plea for mercy, so that when they look on me, for on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourn for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weep over a firstborn. The season of first fruit. Leviticus 23, verse 10 to 11. When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, so that you may be accepted. Today, this festival represents the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as first fruit. Our Lord Jesus ascended to his Father to offer himself as a sheaf of the first fruit. Once his sheaf of the grain was accepted, the spiritual harvest of soul could begin, which is all of us who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruit, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Pentecost. Pentecost is also called a feast of week, feast of harvest. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 16 to 17 say, you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling place 2 loaves of bread to be weighed, made of 2/10 of the ephah. There shall be of fine flour, and there shall be baked with leaven as first fruit to the Lord. Leviticus 23, verse 17. Required an offering of 2 loaves of bread, baked with leaven, offered to the Lord. This loaf symbolized the church being comprised of both Jews and Gentiles. These 2 loaves of bread are leavened bread, which is not pure like unleavened bread. The 4 festivals reveal that Jesus was crucified over Passover, buried on unleavened bread festival, resurrected on first fruit, and birth of the church on Pentecost. Now, we have not yet seen the fulfillment of festival number 5, 6, and 7, but we should believe the rest will be fulfilled, just like the first 4. The fifth one, the Feast of Trumpet, Leviticus 23, verse 24. In the seventh month of the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpet, a holy convocation. The Feast of Trumpet represents the rapture of the church. The trumpet was a signal for the field worker to come into the temple. The high priest actually blew the trumpet so that the faithful would stop harvesting to worship. Now, when the trumpet sound, in according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, living believer will cease their harvest and rise from the earth. Feast number 6, Atonement. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27. Also on the 10 days of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Day of Atonement is the holiest day of Jewish year and provide prophetic insight regarding the second coming of Messiah, the restoration of national Israel, and the final judgment of the world. It is also a day that reveals the high priest's work of Jesus as our high priest. Number 7, Tabernacle. Leviticus 23, verse 34 say, the 15 days of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacle for 7 days unto the Lord. Tabernacle represents the Lord's shelter in the world to come. His great tabernacle to exist in New Jerusalem during the kingdom age. You can see that in Revelation chapter 21. God has revealed His plan for us through the annual festival that He has established before the birth of Christ. He fulfilled the first four at the 2,000 years after the birth of Christ. He has shown to us that He is real. He is living. He is faithful to His promises, and He has three more promises to be fulfilled. Now, let us come to see the birth of the church. I wonder how the disciples were feeling that first Pentecost morning. They were all gathered together in one place. What a few weeks they have experienced. They're entering Jerusalem with Jesus to a heroic welcome, seeing Jesus turning the table over in the temple, seeing Jesus arrested and falsely tried. All the people in Jerusalem turned against Jesus, baying for His blood. Jesus tortured and crucified, dying an agonizing death. Then they witnessed the resurrected Jesus coming face to face with Jesus in the resurrected flesh. Then spending another month with Jesus, listen to Him talk about the kingdom of God in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Then witness Jesus' ascension into heaven. The disciples must have been so confused, so emotionally exalted, not knowing what to expect next. However, Jesus gave them very specific instruction. Jesus asked them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You hear from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So here, we find them gathering together in Jerusalem, and it is Pentecost. That was the day, the 50th after the Passover. When the loyal Jews celebrate the completion of the grain harvest, thus it was a time of thanksgiving and joy, and Jews from all around the Mediterranean come to Jerusalem to observe it. We have no reason to believe that the disciples expect the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. It was just another day of gathering together to wait, pray, and fellowship. While they were gathered in that room before 9 o'clock in the morning, a great thing happened to them. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came upon them. His coming was demonstrated in two ways. First, there was a sound like the rush of the mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Second, there appeared to them divided tongue as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. What does this mean? It is this mystery phenomenon, the sound like a hurricane blast from heaven. It is the very blast of God's breath. It reached the earth all the way from heaven. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said would happen in a few days. The sound was heard all over. The sound surely gathered the massive crowd that showed up to which Peter preached. But the presence of the breath of God filled only the house. The sound of the heaven is like a hurricane, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. An audible phenomenon, then a visual one, verse 3. There appeared to them tongues that looked like fire. It wasn't real wind, and it wasn't real fire. It was the sound of a rushing, violent wind, and it was the appearance of fire. Tongue sort of moving like there were flame distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Not physically wind and not physical fire. This is supernatural. This little tongue appeared over each one of them, and each has received the Holy Spirit. Their baptism has occurred. They were completely engulfed, completely immersed, completely baptized. That's what that word is intended to convey. You can actually translate it, the immersing with the Holy Spirit. Literally being engulfed with the Holy Spirit. This is the coming of the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. At that moment, they are literally immersed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, verse 5 is fulfilled, and the church is born. I would like to point out, there was this similar event in Old Testament where when God called Israel to be his possession. Pentecost, which is a celebration of the harvest, but it is also celebrated Israel were released from Egyptian slavery. And about 50 days after Passover, which God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel people on the Mount Sinai. Let us look at the scripture. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1-6. On the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rahidim, they entered the desert of Sinai. The Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendant of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to Israelite. Then on Exodus chapter 19, verse 10 to 11, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on the Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 to 20, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. That was the day when God accepted the children of Israel to be his treasure possession, to be kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So in God's perfect design, since the early age, the church was designed to be born at Pentecost. To fulfill this typical prediction, the Spirit to come as a first fruit, guarantee of our full inheritance. It was also the birth of the church when the Holy Spirit came upon them and sealed them as God's own. They were inspired by the Spirit now, living within them and sealed by God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22, remind us, and it is God who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So I am saying all that to let you know that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. This is the divine work of God to fulfill his own plan and his promises. Next we see, filled with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men for every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galilean? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Panthias and Medias and Elamite and resident is Mesopotamian, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the part of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitor from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabian. We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty work of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking say, "They are filled with new wine." We can see here, the disciples were impressed by the sign they saw and heard. But what impressed them more was the power they have received. This visible sign seemed almost to have been forgotten, but the Spirit present continue warm, vital, and invigorating. The disciples were moved by the Holy Spirit to praise God with great excitement. They shout their joy, sung loudly their praise, and offer exuberant thanksgiving and fervent petition in prayer to the Lord. The devout Jews out of every nation under heaven being attracted, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Now, the question would be, did the disciples speak in various foreign languages, or was it in hearing only that the language difference took place? Was it a miracle of speech or hearing or both? Let us least not focus on the phenomenon of the power, but more importantly, to know that the promise of God was fulfilled in the disciple. They were given the power to be the witness of Jesus, to do the work of Jesus asked of them. The disciple, after received the power of God on that day, those same timid and fearful people hiding in the upper room were emboldened to go out into the hostile street of Jerusalem and proclaim the gospel. They were ridiculed and mocked by those around them. People whom they considered friend and family thought they were crazy. The government conspired against them, and nothing could stop them from proclaiming the gospel. Today, we have Jesus' Holy Spirit in us, and the power of Holy Spirit is for us. The promise of God has fulfilled in us and carry on to completion the good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. So, whatever happened around us in this season, let us know that our God is real, He's living, He's faithful, and He is promise-keeping God. And we are His procession, His royal priesthood, and His holy nation. We bear His seal of the Holy Spirit and dearly loved by Him. That is why we should rest in Jesus, live in complete surrender to Jesus, ask for His Holy Spirit to continue to fill us every day, seek His wisdom, knowledge, and power. Pray to have the presence of Holy Spirit filling our heart, mind, soul, body, and mouth. Allow the Holy Spirit direct our feet, guide our hands, and working through every fiber of our being. Let the Holy Spirit recharge our life day after day after day, so that we can live life abundantly in Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that your word that given to us, let us meditate on it, think about it again and again. Let us take it serious. We thank you for your promise has fulfilled for us and in this world. Let us continue hold on to your promises in every situation in our life. We know that you are faithful, you are promise-keeping God, and you love us so dearly. Let us in this season not to be fear, but trust in you and set our eyes on you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.